They would fill out these DDS Form 332s. And then they would hand them to the sergeant who was the guard, because this was a double security area. But they'd shred about half the reports of the UFOs. We were a SAC squadron, Strategic Air Command. All year round this went on. This would have been about 1960. Later, I became a consultant to a number of companies. I used to go to Egg and G up there in Vegas when they'd go to Area 51. I used to go to the Atomic Energy Commission at Amarillo, Texas, and I'd go to Bell Telephone, Murray Hill with all the stealth CIA people. I used to go to Langley all the time for the CIA and Quantico where I work for the FBI. You name it, I was there. Now, why was I there in all these companies? Because I am an instrumentation specialist, and I was very good at it. I had my own company, it was called Scopes Unlimited. Before that I worked for A Research. I was very well paid and retired in 1971. When I was still at Autonetics prior to my NASA days with the Rockwell contract, I worked on a project called Eyeglass. A billion watt laser system that we launch from space to shoot down aliens. It is called electroplasma light beams. They are on platforms in space, but they also have them in 747s now. There was one on the front cover of Popular Science. It's a new laser plasma device that they've developed. And I worked at the Skunk Works at Lockheed. I went to a lot of Egg and G plants. The one in Las Vegas. And the reason I was always in there was because when I was at A Research, we worked on what were called single shot testing. And we were working on a technology which later became known as EMP, electromagnetic pulse technology. I was one of the pioneers making measurement equipment. I worked a lot on EMP technology, and that was over there. Martin Marietta, TRW, I worked at all of these places. We did the magnet project back in Canada in the 1950s, that was over the Great Lakes, which I explain in my book. We did Wright Patterson and Martin Marietta in Denver. The Ball Brothers, I've been in their plant many times. They make glass jars, but they also make some really hot aerospace stuff. Rockwell, Lockheed, Douglas, Northrop Grumman Aircraft, TRW, Hughes Aircraft was involved big time. I used to work in a Hughes facility in L.A. The one up here at Fullerton. I worked both facilities on a lot of hush-hush projects in those days. They were dealing with anti-gravity. I used to go out to Hughes in Malibu. They had a big think tank up there. Big anti-gravity projects. I used to talk to them out there. I'd give them ideas, because they bought all my equipment. But the American public will never, never hear about that. I have buddies of mine who work in aerospace. We have our little get-together every once in a while. And a friend of mine flew a disc. You've probably seen that disc, you know, from Area 51. This flying disc has a little plutonium reactor in it, which creates electricity, which drives these anti-gravity plates. We also have the next level of propulsion, it is called virtual field, which are called hydrodynamic waves. Taking that idea into the laboratory, using 12 different lasers in a plasma system, we create hydrodynamic waves. And so we created the triangle craft that you photographed. Those were built near Bentwaters, England, and that's where they are flying them, in England. This is how I left NASA. I started talking about spaceships. I had some friends that I was working with down at Seal Beach where we were building up the Saturn II, the second stage. And I started to realize, what are we doing down here? This is stupid, parenthesis, using rocket propulsion. And Wernher von Braun was in there, him and his stormtroopers. They used to always wear black suits, ski pants and gold helmets. I mean, these guys dressed up like Nazis. They really did. We got into some heavy conversations about how stupid the Saturn was and how we should start using electrogravitic, parenthesis, anti-gravity, propulsion around some pretty high people in NASA. And I got into some pretty serious trouble for it. I was basically warned to cool off on that level. The first night we are bringing the Saturn rocket out of the hangar, I was sitting at the computer console, sound asleep. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. One of my engineers comes up and shakes me. Dr. B, come on outside, there is something big happening. You said it was going to happen. They had just pulled the bird, (Saturn), out and were taking pictures when a big disc came down in Seal Beach, California. I don't have a picture of the ship hovering over it, but the disc came down and 400 employees saw it at 4 o'clock in the morning in April of 1966. How has all of this been kept secret? I know some people I worked with that disappeared and were never heard from again. My buddy over at Lockheed Skunk Works, he was a great contact. He told me all about the Aurora. He got started talking a lot, and he disappeared. He's not around anymore. Nobody knows where he went. His place was closed. Overnight he was gone. There exists a shadowy government with its own air force, its own navy, its own fundraising mechanism, and the ability to pursue its own ideas of the national interest, free from all checks and balances, and free from the law itself. Senator Daniel K. NUI UFO Secret File Majestic 12 Testimonials, A.H. Anonymous, Boeing Aircraft. Commentary from Stephen M. Greer. The entity established by President Eisenhower and Nelson Rockefeller in 1956 as Majestic, or MJ-12, has become the largest RICO, racketeer-influenced and corrupt organization, in the world. While their name has changed from MJ-12/Majestic-12 to Sekhata Pi 40 and now MAJIC, it's not just one society. There are sweeping conspiracy theories about the Masons, Bilderbergers, Trilateral Commission, and the Council of Foreign Relations. I know people in all of these entities, and most of them know nothing about the subject. It's much more prosaic and nuanced than that. They feel threatened because disclosure and the introduction of zero-point energy would decentralize power from the current oil-based economy. We have testimony about what the agenda is from people who've been on the inside, and some of it is absolutely frightening. The infrastructure needed to maintain and expand secrecy to a level which can deceive presidents and CIA directors, senior congressional leaders, European prime ministers and the like is substantial and illegal. Let me be clear, the entity which controls the UFO matter and its related technologies has more power than any single government in the world or any single identified world leader. This cabal is a hybrid, quasi-government, quasi-privatized operation which is international and functions outside of the purview of any single agency or any single government, all of which are kept outside the loop. Rather, a select, tightly controlled and compartmentalized black or unacknowledged project controls these matters. Access is by inclusion alone, and if you are not included, it does not matter if you are the CIA director, President of the United States, Chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, or UN Secretary General, you simply will not know about or have access to these projects. Indeed, the situation is so dire that senior Joint Chiefs of Staff leaders in the Pentagon whom I have briefed have no more access to such projects than any other civilian unless they are on the inside. But this is rare. Essentially, the covert management of this matter operates as part super-secret international government program, and part privatized organized crime operation. It is more like a secret mafia than a government entity. To acquire and maintain such power, all types of things have been done. I am reminded of that Robert Frost poem in which he describes the webs we weave, but how does such an entity extract itself from such a web of secrecy, deceit, lies and insubordination? To be specific, this group has usurped power and rights not legally granted to it. It is extra-constitutional, both in the US and in the UK, as well as other countries around the world. It is, therefore, a criminal enterprise and a conspiracy of the first order. Additionally, it has committed crimes which include assassinations, murder, kidnapping, theft of technology and so forth. I will grant the possibility that, at least initially, this covert undertaking was designed to maintain secrecy and avoid instability during the height of the Cold War. But the risks of inadvertent leaks or of a national or world leader legally deciding that it was time for disclosure made it essential to weave a web of greater secrecy and of illegal operations. And now the web has closed in on the operation itself. That is, the complexity of the compartmentalized projects, the degree of unconstitutional and unauthorized activity, the privatization, or theft, by corporate partners, the industrial part of the military-industrial complex, of advanced technologies, the continued lying to legally elected and appointed leaders and to the public. All of these and more have contributed to a psychology of continued secrecy because disclosure would expose the greatest scandal in recorded history. How would the public react to the unnecessary dumping of trillions of tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere affecting the health of every air-breathing life form on the planet? The degradation of the Earth's ecosystem. The irretrievable loss of thousands of species of plants and animals now extinct due to pollution? How would society react to the knowledge that trillions of dollars have been spent on unauthorized, unconstitutional projects over the years? And that these taxpayer dollars have been used by corporate partners in this secrecy to develop spin-off technologies based on the study of ET objects which were later patented and used in highly profitable technologies? Not only have the taxpayers been defrauded, they have then been made to pay a premium for such breakthroughs, which were the result of research paid for by them. And this does not address the intellectual property theft of such technologies. While the basic energy generation and propulsion technologies have been withheld, these corporate partners have profited wildly from other breakthroughs and benefits in electronics, miniaturization, and related areas. Such covert technology transfers constitute the multi-trillion dollar theft of technologies which really should be public domain since taxpayers have paid for it. And how would the public react to the fact that our multi-billion dollar space program, forced into using rockets and the like, has been a primitive and unnecessary experiment since much more advanced technologies and propulsion systems were in existence before we ever went to the moon? NASA and related agencies have, for the most part, been as much a victim of this secrecy as has the rest of the government and the public. Only a small, very compartmentalized faction of NASA people know of the real ET technologies hidden away in these projects. The inescapable reality is this secret entity, no matter how well-intentioned initially, got carried away with its own secret power and, in the course of this abuse, it hijacked our future for the last 70 years. But the situation is actually much worse than this, for this covert group running these UFO-related Black Hawk projects have also had exclusive sway over the early days of an embryonic extraterrestrial human relationship. And it was tragically mismanaged. Nearly to the point of genuine global catastrophe. For what happens when an unelected, unappointed, self-selecting, militarily oriented group alone has to deal with inter-species relations between humans and ETs? Through their militaristic shaded glasses, every new and uncontrolled development will be viewed as a potential or real threat. The nature of such a group, which is inordinately controlled and incestuous, is that it is homogeneous in worldview and mindset. Power and control are preeminent qualities. Such extreme secrecy creates a very dangerous milieu in which checks and balances, give and take, are utterly lacking. And in such an environment, very dangerous decisions can be, and no doubt have been made that affect us all. In such an environment of extreme secrecy, militarism and paranoia, we have found that immensely dangerous actions have been taken against the ETs. Indeed, we have multiple inside sources who have described to us the use of increasingly advanced technologies to track, target and destroy extraterrestrial assets. If there is even a 10% chance that this is true, I am convinced it is 100% accurate, then we are dealing with a global diplomatic and social crisis which is utterly out of our control but which puts the entire planet at risk. Who's in this covert group? There's a committee of 200 to 300 people who are on the policy board for this issue. Admiral Bobby Ray Inman, who went from head of the National Security Agency to the board of SAIC, which is one of the crown jewels of this covert entity, is a member. So is Admiral Harry Tran. George Bush Sr., Cheney and Rumsfeld are involved, as is the Liechtenstein banking family. The Mormon corporate empire has an enormous interest in this subject. They have much more power than the White House or the Pentagon over this issue. And there are secret cells within the Vatican. I've met with factions within this group, and I've met with some of the good guys. People think that it's a monolithic conspiracy, but they're wrong. About 50% to 60% of the people involved in these super secret projects now want this amazing technology out. They know we're running out of oil, that China is industrializing, and the polar ice caps are melting. And they know that if this advanced ET technology was announced today, it would still take 10 to 20 years to get it into widespread application to avert an economic, strategic, geopolitical and environmental catastrophe. They see that and want to fix it. But they're overruled by a ruthless, sociopathic minority, a minority who has not hesitated to kill its enemies, and its own. Murder, Incorporated. CIA Director William Colby was involved in Majestic at one time. He was in the process of defecting and was going to provide us with some hard technologies and transfer $50 million in funding to us. He knew that, with my connections, I would have gotten them out to the world. He was found floating down the Potomac River the week he was going to meet with me and a close friend. They made an example of him. Colby's best friend, a colonel who set up the meeting, confirmed it was absolutely a hit. Even Colby's wife said so on CNN, you know, it was strange, because he would never go out canoeing in a flooded, rain-swollen Potomac River at night and leave the house open and the coffee maker and the computer on. That's not like Bill at all. The cabal then turned its attention on us. Around the time Colby was killed, my right-hand assistant and close friend, Shari Adamiak, was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer. Republican Congressman Steve Siff of New Mexico, who was trying to get a full disclosure on Roswell, was diagnosed with another deadly type of cancer, while I was hit with malignant melanoma, which is highly fatal when it is metastatic. Here we were .3 young healthy people and we're all diagnosed with deadly cancers in the same month, all while we're actively pushing for ET disclosure. It was just too much of a coincidence to believe. Testimonial. A.H. is a person who has gained significant information from inside the UFO extraterrestrial groups within our government, military, and civilian companies. He has friends at the NSA, CIA, NASA, JPL, NRO, Area 51, the Air Force, Northrop, Boeing, and others. He once worked at Boeing as a surface technician. Majestic 12 is real. The name was changed but the positions are still the same. Henry Kissinger is very knowledgeable about what's going on. He was in the loop, I was told by a friend of mine who worked at the NSA. He saw Kissinger's name on MJ-12 documents. This NSA witness entered in 1974, and left the military in about 1985. He said that Henry Kissinger was involved with the group back in the 1950s to study the ramifications of this information and to determine what would happen if it was leaked through a credible source. They were to do a study and pass off classified information to certain outside study groups, such as the RAND Corporation and other think tanks of this nature. He also saw George Bush Sr.'s name on some of the documents. As former CIA director, Bush was made aware of what's going on. There is another base in London that is also monitoring the situation regarding the extraterrestrials through MI5 and MI6. He told me that President Jimmy Carter was alerted to several events that were taking place overseas. This NSA witness had handled the transmission personally. Carter was brought up to speed regarding some events that were taking place over in Iraq and Iran where several near misses occurred. Some of the Iranian fighter jets which we sold to them chased these UFOs and their instruments went crazy. One of the fighter jets almost crashed. But the pilot pulled away from the object. A huge circular-shaped object. And regained control of his fighter jet. But Carter was largely left out of the loop. The control group didn't trust the guy. They were afraid he would come out and make blanketed statements to the news media. But he was informed by the Joint Chiefs of Staff that these events were taking place in Iran and Iraq. The ATs are monitoring our war efforts, especially regarding nuclear bombs and other experiments. Around 1978, President Reagan was fully briefed on the alien presence. Reagan told Mikhail Gorbachev of Russia about 75% of what's going on. And then Gorbachev became very, very close to us. I find that highly strange. Note, Reagan was fed disinformation to endorse Star Wars Defense Shield. SG. The second time that Gorbachev came to America, and they were able to interview Gorbachev, a CNN reporter asked, "Do you think we should get rid of all our nuclear weapons?" And his wife stepped in and she said, "No, I don't think we should get rid of all our nuclear weapons because of alien spacecraft." Now CNN put this story on for the first half hour on CNN Headline News. I heard this and I jumped up and put a blank tape in to record the next half hour. Well, that story disappeared, and you know who intercepted that. It was the CIA that got involved with that because I know they were monitoring CNN and all international headlines at that time. They squashed that, but I heard it. And this tells me that my information is correct about Ronald Reagan, from my NSA source. The secrecy is just total overkill as far as I'm concerned. And the Congress needs to know about this information. These projects are controlled by the Majestic 12 Group. It's an oversight group intermingled with the National Security Council and the National Security Planning Group in Washington, D.C. that oversees everything. They have full control. They have no congressional oversight whatsoever and answer to nobody. How they are being funded, I don't know. I can tell you one thing, the General Accounting Office doesn't know what's going on. So-called empty space isn't really empty at all. It's actually full of energy. So, instead of being an empty lot, it's more like the froth at the base of a waterfall. Dr. Hal Puthoff. Theoretical, experimental physicist. The amount of energy in a cubic meter of space, time was 10 to the 26th power joules per cubic meter. 10,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, play into steam. Quantum physicists UFO secret file 0. Energy testimonials, Richard Doty, special agent with Air Force Office of Special Investigations Master Sergeant Dan Morris, NRO operative, Cosmic Clearance Lieutenant Colonel Charles Brown, Project Grudge. Commentary from Stephen M. Greer. The compartmentalization of special access projects, that is, secret projects dealing with ETs and UFOs, was exponentially increased by the early 1950s when those in charge suddenly realized exactly what it was that their scientists were reverse engineering. In essence, these downed UFO craft contained a Rosetta Stone to a new physics. An energy generation and propulsion system responsible for interstellar space travel. This new system could easily replace all existing energy generation and propulsion systems on Earth. And with them, the entire geopolitical and economic order on our planet. Let's take a moment and digest this last statement. Essentially, a select group of individuals had acquired access to a technology which could provide every home, business, factory and vehicle with its own source of free abundant power. Translated. No more external fuel sources. No need for oil, gas, coal, nuclear plants or the internal combustion engine. No need for roads. These energy devices could yield an anti-gravitic effect resulting in zero mass, allowing for above-surface transportation. Yes, flying cars, and no pollution. Period. The source of this energy dot defined as the zero-point field dot is what made interstellar travel possible. And yet this extraordinary and infinite source of energy was not unknown to man. Zero-point energy, a quick tutorial. Our third-dimensional physical universe is literally swimming in an all-pervasive sea of quantum energy. Only like ignorant fish, we remain unaware of the water's existence. For scientists, the clues have been around for over a century, but one has to think outside the box in order to understand them. Dr. Harold Puthoff at Cambridge University was one of the first to conduct a search for this quantum sea of energy. -273 degrees Celsius, or 0 degrees Kelvin, is the absolute lowest temperature in the universe. According to the laws of Newtonian physics, all molecular activity should cease at absolute zero and no energy should exist. Of course, scientists used to say the same thing about the bottom of the ocean. No light, no energy, no life. And then we actually sent a submersible into the depths to check things out for ourselves and, lo and behold, we found energy spewing out of hydrothermal vents and an entire food chain existing on chemosynthesis. The primordial soup that led to the origin of life on this planet. Dr. Puthoff made a similar discovery. When he measured absolute zero, instead of an empty vacuum, he was shocked to find a seething cauldron of energy. A plenum of space where every square centimeter was filled with matter. Appropriately, he named it zero-point energy. It is zero-point energy that causes subatomic particles to jiggle and then literally jump in and out of existence. What is actually happening is that the photons collide and are absorbed by other subatomic particles. The process excites them into a higher energy state, creating an energy exchange between the fourth-dimensional zero-point field and our third-dimensional physical world. Although they appear for only thousandths or millionths of a second, their appearance is yet another indication that something truly magnificent lies just beyond the physical realm and the limitations of our five senses. An endless supply of free energy. Two more experiments have proven the existence of the zero-point field. The first is the Casimir effect. By placing two plates made of conductive materials in a vacuum facing each other, Hendrik Casimir theorized that if the zero-point field actually existed, the total amount of energy between the surfaces of the plates would be less than the amount elsewhere, leading them to be drawn together. Which is exactly what happened. A more dramatic experiment, and another example of what quantum physicists have dubbed weird science and freaking magic, involves a ZPE-related phenomenon called sonoluminescence. The transformation of sound waves into light energy. If you fill a small spherical glass with water, resonate it with harmonious sound waves of 20 kHz, and then blow a very tiny air bubble into the center of the flask, the air bubble will rhythmically heat up to an incredible 30,000 degrees Celsius before imploding in an ultra-short flash of light. Third dimension versus fourth dimension electrical circuits. Constructed within the walls of your home is an electrical circuit made up of copper wire. Flowing through the copper wiring, like a river of atoms, is an electrical current, its movement generated by the separation of positively charged protons heading one way, and the negatively charged electrons moving in the other direction. Plug a lamp into a socket and the electric current flows through the copper wires into the bulb's filament, and we have light. What initiates that separation of atoms is a dipole. An electromagnetic device. All of our current sources of electricity, from batteries to coal and nuclear power plants, share one basic problem. When the electrical current is fed back to the source that initiated it, the electromagnetic device or dipole, it destroys it. As a result, the energy in the magnetic field dissipates, leaving only about a 30% return for the load, making the systems we've been using for over 100 years incredibly inefficient. Of course, the power company wants the circuit to be inefficient, after all they're profiting from every amp we use. And the fossil fuel and nuclear industries also get a nice chunk of that change since it's their fuel that powers the dipole. To figure out where things went so wrong when they could have gone so right, We go back to the turn of the 20th century and Nikola Tesla, a brilliant scientist who realized that humans may exist and think in three dimensions, but nature, and electricity, actually prefers to work in four dimensions. The fourth being time-space.